Large golden letters snake around the Earth, set against the starry background of space. The letters reveal themselves to read Universal, an MCA company. Beethoven the St. Bernard's nostrils twitch as he sleeps. Ivan Reitman presents a Rod Daniel film. Charles Grodin. Bonnie Hunt. Beethoven's Second. Nicole Tom. Christopher Castile. Sarah Rose Carr.
Here, Beethoven.
Emily offers him a piece of steak.
Here, boy. Here's a special treat. Here, Beethoven.
A roast turkey.
This is from all of us.
Beethoven, I want you to have this.
George comes towards him with a T-bone steak the size of a table. Beethoven's woken from his dream by a toilet roll dropping on his head. Debbie Mazar. He scampers downstairs. Chris Penn.
Come on, kids, you're gonna be late!
Ashley Hamilton, Danny Masterson. Maury Chaikin. Beethoven races to his bowl in the kitchen, but it's empty.
The thing is, the bank has got to see that what we're doing here is important, that air fresheners do more than just freshen air. I'm sure that the bank's aware of that.
I'm sure they are.
And if this bank manager has any imagination, he'll understand.
Rise! Breakfast!
Okay, honey, go ahead. Tell me how you're gonna start.
I'm gonna say, Mr. Bickert, I woke up one morning a couple of months ago and I realized something. Didn't I have some sausage here?
You ate it, huh?
No, he didn't. Beethoven did. He goes to a cupboard for food and finds it bare. Music by Randy Adelman.
Honey, don't say challenge. It's a very scary word to a bank. Opportunity?
Good. Much better, much better. There's a much bigger opportunity out there. Hi, honey. Not just...
Morning, Dad.
Morning. Not just to connect people's air fresheners...
Oh, boy,
to
we're
their
late.
...car or to their truck. Listen to this.
Rice, come on!
Hi, thanks for picking me up. No. What am I gonna wear?
Associate producer Sheldon Kahn. Beethoven watches Rice.
Hi, thanks for picking me up.
She's standing in front of a mirror holding up different outfits. Beethoven goes up to her as she tries another outfit.
What do you think?
Co-producer Gordon Webb.
Mom, life is amazing. I'm getting a ride to school with Michelle and Taylor Devereaux.
Who's Taylor Devereaux?
A boy.
Boy.
Executive producer Ivan Reitman.
What a challenge. It's an opportunity. Not just to connect air fresheners to a person's car or a truck, but to connect air fresheners to a person's entire life. That's good intent.
You call the pitch.
But to connect air, but this is an opportunity to connect air fresheners to a person's car or truck.
The paper boy hurls the paper and it hits George, spilling coffee over him. Produced by Michael C. Gross, Joe Medjuk.
Alice, the news kid threw the paper, knocked the coffee all over me. I was trying to concentrate on what I was going to say. Now I got to concentrate on changing my clothes.
Written by Len Bloom, directed by Rod Daniel.
Hi.
Hi.
Michelle said you could use a ride to school.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Taylor Devereaux.
And I'm Rice's mom.
And that's my dad.
Hi there. Now, please, don't worry. I'll get Rice to school and back safely.
Oh, I'm not worried. You're very handsome, so she can be a little late.
Thanks, Mom.
Bye, Dad.
Seatbelts. What?
That's the best looking kid I've ever seen in my life.
God. Honey, he's just giving her a ride to school.
Well, she didn't need to ride to school. It's a 2-minute walk.
Hi, Michelle.
He used to give me a ride to school, remember?
On a bicycle.
Still, honey, you were very, very rooming. No, you were quite a... I'm telling you right now.
Mommy, are we late yet?
Oh, oh God, I gotta get going.
Good luck, Dan.
Thanks.
Okay, it's okay. Take it easy. Oh, George, honey, your socks.
Ah, I'm late.
It's okay. Ah. Don't cross your legs. That's easy, huh? Ah.
Beethoven trots to the window and watches the Newtons leaving. Beethoven drops a tennis ball from his mouth and then gets out of the house through a basement window. He gallops down the street. As he goes past neatly tended lawns and parked cars, he spots a pair of poodles out for a walk with a couple who are clearly an item. He crosses the street into a park. He stops to look at an old couple sitting on a park bench, the man with his arm round the woman. They hold hands and the woman leans her head on the man's shoulder. Beethoven moves on and looks up at a pair of doves billing and cooing. On the opposite side of a lake, he spots a pair of Jack Russells standing side by side on a rock, nuzzling one another. Beethoven lies down, looking fed up. Reflected in the water, he sees a St. Bernard wearing a ribbon and perks up. He gets up as the other St. Bernard ambles up to an ice cream cart. He dashes round the lake and makes a beeline for the ice cream cart, where a regular bespectacled guy is buying an ice cream.
So, you got strawberry?
Uh-huh.
It's got real hunks of strawberry in it?
Good, I'll have a single cone, please. What are you gonna have, Missy?
Okay, make that 2 strawberries.
Beethoven sees her wagging tail, then she steps round her owner to look at her new admirer. The owner picks up on the canine attraction.
Do you know this guy? Huh? Hello? Missy.
I think she's got a date.
They gaze at each other. And then come together. They nuzzle.
I better make that 3 strawberry.
Missy's owner walks over with 2 ice cream cones.
Okay, this one's on me, but next time, you're buying. Here you go. What's that? Huh?
A red Mercedes pulls up. A slender woman steps out in silver-heeled shoes and an elegant flowing white trouser suit. Wearing a lot of makeup, her black hair is scraped back into a bun and she has an arrogant sneer on her face, her eyes icy blue.
Kiss the dog goodbye, Brillo. Visiting hours are over.
Regina, look, what do you want to take Missy for, huh? You hate dogs. You hate all living things.
Look, this is not about animals. It's about alimony. And since I got the court order, the dog stays with me in the apartment until we negotiate our little divorce. Now, did my lawyer tell you what I want?
Yeah, $50,000.
That's right.
Look, if I had the $50,000, things would be different, but I don't.
Well, then get it.
Which dog, baby?
That one. The one with the bow.
It's a big dog.
Look, just put her in the back.
Don't do this, Regina.
Brillo, shut up and pay up.
Come in. Come on.
Stupid bow. You want your dog back? Call my lawyer. Let's go, Missy.
Beethoven watches her being taken away by Regina's chubby boyfriend.
Move it, stupid.
Standing beside Beethoven, Brillo watches mournfully as Missy is taken away, her discarded bow at their feet. Missy looks back out of the window, and as the car moves away, Beethoven takes off after it. He chases the car down the street. From the back seat, Missy watches Beethoven in pursuit. Galloping like a thoroughbred along the pavement, he diverts through a garden as a car backs out of a driveway across the pavement right in front of him. The Mercedes turns a corner and pulls into a basement garage driveway outside a suburban apartment block, and by the time he arrives round the corner, Beethoven has lost sight of it. He looks around, taking in the apartment block. He claws at the road and sniffs before setting off towards the apartment block. He goes down the driveway to the garage door.
When we hide that mud away where he can't see her, the dumb slob is gonna fall apart at the seams. That's when he pays the big bucks.
Yeah, I know the type. Emotionally vulnerable. He's a real marshmallow.
Floyd, do me a favor, okay?
Yes, kid.
People in California generally swallow before they start talking.
Hey. I know how to eat in California, okay?
Floyd puts Missy out on a balcony, and Beethoven, unable to get through the garage door, trots back onto the pavement. Summoned by her bark, he finds her on a ground floor balcony. Missy gets up on her hind legs, leaning on the balcony wall. Beethoven comes up to her, and they nuzzle. Beethoven moves away and looks back over his shoulder. Missy leaps over the balcony wall and runs away with Beethoven. George and Alice are in a meeting with a bank manager.
And then we have, in every gym bag, in every locker room, in every health club in America, sports fresheners. Here, smell this.
George holds open a sports bag.
That smells terrible.
Old underwear, unwashed jockstrap, cheese sandwich.
It's disgusting.
But we have a solution.
Throw in a Newton.
Throw in a Newton. Now smell it.
I'll take your word for it.
It takes a second to settle.
We really think we have a winner here, Mr. Bickard. We just need $45,000 to retool and get some new machinery.
And $20,000 for a TV commercial. I mean, that's the key to the whole thing.
Well, I can't authorize another loan to your company. But I can restructure your debt and extend a secured demand loan to the two of you as individuals.
What does that mean?
Your product flops, you lose your home.
Aha.
George sinks back into a chair and exchanges solemn looks with Alice. Beethoven and Missy wander down a high street, side by side. They stop and look at a shop in which a man and a woman are dressing mannequins in the window. Distracted by the dogs, the man accidentally sticks a pin into the woman's butt, and she spins round and slaps him. Beethoven and Missy move on to another window and watch something intently, their heads going up and down in unison. They're watching roast chickens on a rotisserie. At a hot dog stand, the vendor goes to put on some relish, but is bemused to find the buns empty. As he looks round confused, Beethoven and Missy walk away, licking their lips. Two dogs stand and stare at the loved-up St. Bernards as they pass by. A couple goes by in a rickshaw, and passing them in the opposite direction, Beethoven and Missy ride in a rickshaw. At a baseball pitch.
We'll take Alex.
Jeff.
James.
David.
Tim.
JJ.
Ted struggling to be seen.
We'll get Daryl.
We get Brian.
We'll take Alex.
We'll take Jeff.
And you can have Shorty.
No way, it's your pick. You take Shorty.
Ted's the last man.
We'll take Heather. Heather, you want to play?
Yeah.
A girl runs from the spectator stand and grabs Ted's glove.
Can I use this?
Come on, let's go.
Bespectacled Ted walks away, crestfallen. At home.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking. Have you been thinking?
Yes.
What have you been thinking?
Well, I'm thinking. What are you thinking? You know what I'm thinking, hon? If things keep going the way they are now, we're going to end up selling the house anyway, right?
Well, selling a house isn't exactly the same thing as losing a house.
Hon, it's tossed. It's done.
He moves away from the salad. Taylor pulls up in his convertible with rice.
Well, thanks for the ride.
You know, I saw you up in the mountains last summer. You have a cottage up there?
No, we just rented one for a week.
The reason I remember is because when I saw you, I had this thought.
Well, what thought?
I thought, I wonder if she's ever been kissed.
As handsome, dark-haired Taylor beams, blonde, blue-eyed Rice looks away coyly and then turns to him with a nervous smile. He leans across and they kiss.
Just an ordinary day.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Out the same old way. Then I looked into your eyes and knew today would be a first for me.
Honey, if that's what you think.
Okay, I'll call the bank.
Good.
You sure?
Well,
yeah.
Hi, honey.
Uh-huh.
It's 7:30.
Uh-huh.
Alice smiles knowingly, but George is taken aback. Rice flops onto her bed and smiles dreamily.
The day I fall in love.
At a drive-in showing a film of a nervous young couple, Beethoven and Missy watch from the bushes, sharing a bucket of popcorn.
An ordinary day.
As the couple in the film kiss, Beethoven and Missy lie down side by side. Offers for me the day I fall in love. The day I fall in love. 10 weeks later, and Emily and Ted watch Beethoven going through his basement window escape route.
I think Beethoven's got a girlfriend.
What makes you think that?
He keeps sneaking out of the house like this.
Come on!
Beethoven wanders off down the driveway with a bone in his mouth. Ted and Emily set off after him down the street, Beethoven blissfully unaware of his pursuers. Beethoven turns a corner and crosses the street to Missy's apartment block. Ted and Emily hang back and peer around the corner at him as he goes down to the basement garage door. As the automatic door opens, the kids run across the street towards the garage. Floyd arrives at Regina's apartment.
Any sign of her?
No. I looked in the alley, I looked under the bridge, I even looked at them new sewer pipes they're putting in. I don't know where she went.
So what'd you come back for?
I need a shower, okay?
No, look, what you need is a brain transplant. Now, Floyd, go back and find the dog. Without that dog, my divorce is worth peanuts.
Relax, honey. Look, we'll find the dog, okay? I put notices up all over the place. Somebody's bound to see her and bring her back.
Somebody's bound to bring her back? What year are you living in? No one is gonna bring back a missing dog. People don't do things for each other anymore.
Well, maybe the dog will come back on its own. You know, dogs are very loyal.
No, Floyd. Dogs are stupid. And do you have to stand that way? I mean, didn't my trainer teach you how to stand? How can we have a relationship if you can't even stand right? I'm gonna kill that stupid dog.
That's her. That's the dog.
Dogs don't knock, Floyd.
Who are you?
Oh, Gus, the janitor. I found your dog. She's down in the storage room. I think she's been sleeping there.
She has? Thank God. Look, take the luggage, put it in the car, bring it out front. We're getting out of here.
Beethoven pushes open a basement door and goes past storage pens. Ted and Emily watch from the doorway as he wanders off round a corner. They follow him, Ted holding Emily's hand. They turn a corner to find Beethoven with Missy and four puppies.
Puppies!
Little Beethovens!
Did you and your girlfriend have babies?
The kids stroke the puppies and make a fuss of them. Ted picks one up. One of the puppies yawns.
Okay, Gus, where's the dog?
The kids spot Regina and Gus approaching.
I don't know. I left her right here. Here, doggy, doggy, doggy. Here, doggy, doggy.
You know, I don't know how someone like you manages to hold on to the job, Gus, really. Missy! Where are you, Missy?
Ought to be somewhere near here.
Missy!
Doggy!
Come here, Missy.
The kids hide with Beethoven.
Uh-oh. Better come see this.
What? This? Aren't you one big pain in the butt?
Well, what do you want me to do with these puppies?
I don't know. Get rid of them.
The animal shelters charge money to turn dogs in.
So? Drown them. What do I care? Let's go, Missy. Come on, Missy, let's go. You're nothing but trouble.
Regina drags Missy away from her puppies.
Come on. The fewer dogs in the world, the better. I can't believe you went and got yourself pregnant. Let's go.
Do something. Here, take one.
Come on, let's go, Missy. Oh, God, this dog.
Hey, you know, these little puppies sure look like purebreds.
Yes, so?
But puppies like that are worth big money. You could probably sell them at a pet shop and make a bundle.
You think so?
Yeah.
You know, I never thought of that. Look, there's a red Mercedes parked up front. Tell my boyfriend to put her in the back, all right?
Okay.
All right, I'll take care of you later. Go, Missy, go. Why don't you watch where you're going?
Hello. Would you like to buy some candy bars? They're to raise money for our school.
Oh, really? How much are they?
$11 each.
$11? What are you, crazy? Look, get your butts out of here before I call security. You don't live here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The kids leave with Ted carrying the puppies in a cardboard box covered with his coat. Regina goes into the basement storage room and helps herself to a black bin bag.
Little puppies! Come to Regina! Puppy! Puppies! Puppy!
She finds their empty makeshift bed on the floor.
Those little brats. We could have made a fortune on those puppies.
Relax, honey. The big money's in the back seat.
No one steals from me ever. Believe me, Floyd. I'm gonna get those puppies back if it kills me. Come on.
Yes, dear.
The kids are watching from a hiding place.
Hurry up!
Missy sticking her head out of the window looking at Beethoven as she's driven away. Ted has to restrain Beethoven to stop him running after her. Beethoven keeps his eyes on Missy as the car disappears off round a corner. Later, Ted and Emily are spying on George from the bushes as he waters the front lawn.
Dad's on the lawn.
He won't want puppies. He didn't even want Beethoven.
Right, you gotta distract him while I sneak around back. Ask him one of those questions where he ends up giving you a whole lecture.
Okay.
Go.
Ted eases a puppy back into the box as it tries to climb out. Emily strides up to George.
Hi, Peanut.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Babies?
Babies, where do they come from?
Oh, every mommy has a teeny weeny little egg inside her body.
An egg like an Easter egg?
An Easter? No, not like an Easter egg. Smaller than an Easter egg.
Like a robin's egg?
Really, smaller than a more like a goldfish egg, except.
Let's see here.
In the basement, Ted puts the box of puppies down and grabs a roll of fence wire as the puppies peek out of the box.
It swims up a river.
A river?
A river that every mommy has inside of her. So a teeny weeny little egg just swims up the river.
Guys, little squeaks are okay. Just don't bark until I figure out what we're gonna do with you.
Ted puts the puppies in a circular pen made from the fence wire. The puppies wrestle and play as he grabs a heavy blanket and covers the pen with it.
And there are thousands and millions of little tadpoles just swimming around the teeny little egg in the itty-bitty river.
Get in the river.
They're in there. They're just in there. And the strongest tadpole of all, the one that the most determined tadpole, the tadpole that would win the gold medal in the Olympics.
You really don't know much about this, do you, Dad?
Emily walks away, leaving George bemused. Rice is on her bed doing schoolwork.
What is it?
Shh, you gotta come downstairs.
Well, I'm studying. I've got a final on Friday. Why are we whispering?
Shh.
Puppies! Oh my gosh, where did you get them?
They're Beethoven's.
The lady who owned their mother was gonna drown them.
Oh, my God. Oh, they're all so cute.
Mom and Dad don't know yet. We'll wait until Dad's in a good mood.
Yeah, well, it'll have to be a really good mood.
Yeah. Beethoven rests his head by the pen. Early in the morning, a bin lorry comes down the street. The paperboy reaches the Newtons just as George emerges in his pajamas and dressing gown with a coffee.
Hey, Mr. Newton!
The paperboy gets off his bike and George's eyes narrow. As the paperboy grabs a rolled-up newspaper, George puts down his coffee and they both take up positions as if they're playing baseball.
Right down the pipe.
The paper's pitched, and it hits a hanging basket above George, showering him with dirt.
Sorry.
Alice!
Maybe fresh milk will help. Did you get the vet?
I'm on hold.
In the basement, Ted puts down a bowl of milk for the puppies.
Come on, puppy. Please take a sip.
It's no use.
Yes, Doctor. Yeah, they're very young and their mother's gone and they won't drink milk from a bowl. Milk replacement powder? With an eyedropper?
Yes.
6 to 8 times a day.
Later, in the evening.
Our customers think of themselves as hypersensitive people. That they think of themselves as at the mercy of these irritating odors. So when I want to give them something to fight back with, when they say throwing a Newton, I want people to think of like throwing a hand grenade, throwing a missile, throwing an atomic bomb.
Honey, honey, slow down.
I think you're working a little too hard.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know so. Glad 4th of July is coming. We'll take off, go someplace, spend a little time together.
Alice, Alice, we can't go someplace. I mean, we don't have any money. We can't.
I know,
we can't,
honey. I'm not talking about a big deal. I'm talking about a small
Alice,
thing.
Alice, please, Alice.
George, just take a minute now, okay? Do something else. Just relax. Go spend time with the kids. All right?
The kids?
Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Friday mornings are gonna be trouble.
What about the other 2 days?
Well, on Monday and Wednesday, I have a free period in the morning.
Well, Emma and I will do the lunch hour feeding while Mom's at the office.
Okay. Well, is there any way you can get home back during recess?
Morning recess is too short. Afternoons we can. If we run.
Kids!
The kids hurriedly shove a puppy under Rice's bed and pull out a Monopoly board.
Kids! Kids.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Did we forget to do something?
No.
Would you like us to do something?
No. Oh, you're playing Monopoly. Can I be the battleship? Oh, can I be the banker?
Emily's banker.
It helps improve my math skills.
It does.
And I'm the property man.
The puppy's sniffing around behind George's feet, and Rice tries not to look anxious.
We're almost through.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, next time you're gonna play, call me, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay?
All right.
Bye, kids.
Bye.
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 George turns and leaves without seeing the puppy.
Em, I told you not to bring him up here.
That was close. Okay, now who has Tuesdays and Thursdays? Dear Miss Anderson, please excuse Rice from classes on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday because she has to go to the doctor's to get allergy shots. Yours truly, Georgia Newton.
In a school corridor, Rice is phased to see Taylor talking to a girl.
Ah, forget her. He likes you, he told me. God, you could see her bra right through her shirt. Like, totally accidental, I'm sure.
Come on.
Ted and Emily hurry out of school together, and at home in the basement, Ted takes over puppy feeding duties from Emily, and she leaves with her school books. Rice runs out of school and goes down to the basement, lifting the rug off the puppy's pen.
Hungry?
What do you think of spearmint for racquetball players?
Just as George walks past, a puppy comes out of the basement door, but a hand grabs it back before George returns.
Or should it be peppermint?
Rice sits bolt upright in bed and turns off her alarm. It's 2:30. She happily feeds the puppies with a dropper. Ted's alarm goes off at 2:30, but he barely opens his eyes. In the basement, he too happily feeds the puppies with a dropper. Beethoven pulls at the rug, which is round sleepy Emily, and she mimes feeding a puppy with a dropper. Ted's asleep, standing up during a baseball game. Rice is fast asleep in the school canteen. Emily's asleep in class and she's nudged awake, automatically putting a hand in the air like her classmates and turning a page in her book. At home, George is coming downstairs as a puppy emerges from the basement door, but Beethoven goes up to the door and pushes it.
About spearmint for soccer players. Do you think there's enough soccer players to justify their own scent?
In the basement, three of the puppies are asleep as the other laps milk from a bowl. Ted's lying next to the bowl, fast asleep. Rice and Emily come down to the basement in their nightclothes.
They're eating. They're eating by themselves.
During the day, Ted and Emily emerge from the basement looking tired.
Oh, it's early to bed for you two tonight.
Okay.
Hello.
Mrs. Newton?
Mm-hmm.
Linda Anderson, Rice's chemistry teacher.
Yes.
I'm just calling to see if she's all right.
Why? Did something happen?
No. It's just that with less than 8 weeks of school left and with her missing so many classes to get her allergy shots, I'm worried she might have a problem catching up.
Allergy shots.
Come on in.
Hi.
Hi.
Just got off the phone with Miss Anderson.
Rice's smile fades.
You want to tell me what's going on, Rice?
I can't.
You can't? Oh, honey, yes, you can. We've always been very honest with each other, haven't we? What are you, skipping school to spend time with boys? Because if you are, there was a time...
No, Mom. No. I'm not using drugs and I'm not pregnant.
What's going on?
Alice looks calm and patient.
Ted, Emily, and I have been hiding four puppies in the basement.
Initially surprised, Alice chews a smile.
Honey, I'm home!
Don't tell your dad.
So, I show him the hockey player. Well, he flips for the mahogany vanilla. I mean, he loved it. That's he wants great. To smell the rest of the line right away. I mean, the buzz is really starting.
Ooh, there's a buzz. Did you hear that, kids?
Oh,
a buzz.
Very.
No. On another front, this is a big one. Due to a special request from your mother, I have found the perfect vacation spot for a family with a limited cash flow.
Wait a minute, honey. We can't afford anything right now.
No. This we can afford. Our Velcro supplier, Fred Serbiak, has always been offering us his cottage in the mountains for years.
Right.
Well, it's empty this 4th of July, and since you have told me that there'll be no business this 4th of July, I said yes. So, this 4th of July, we are going to spend four fun-filled days at Fred Serbiak's mountain getaway, absolutely free.
Oh, that's my God.
Honey,
wow.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Now, Fred was a little concerned that we had a dog, but I said our guy wouldn't be any trouble. Isn't that right, you little chihuahua, you? Bless you. I mean, no business, no phones, no nothing.
I'm going to run a load through the dishwasher.
Good idea.
Is it customary to do that after we have dinner?
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I really need a break.
George looks suspiciously at Beethoven.
You know, just a few days to get away.
George looks bemused and the others uncomfortable.
Are those sounds coming from outside or in the basement?
Outside.
I think I'm hearing something from the basement. Oh, no!
Roll anyone?
No, 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 no! Look, this is not one dog. This is five dogs. I know they're cute now, but pretty soon they're going to be monster dogs. They'll destroy our house, they'll ruin the Serbiak cottage, and they'll drive me out of my mind. Hygienically, emotionally, financially, we cannot afford these dogs. I mean, do you think I'm crazy?
Pleading looks from the family.
Don't give me those looks. The answer is no.
They would be a lot of trouble, wouldn't they?
Trouble? Four puppies? Five St. Bernards? I mean, it's beyond trouble.
Well, was I a lot of trouble when I was a baby?
Struggling to speak, George looks to Alice.
No.
Well, what about when there were three of us?
Yes.
Well, would you rather have had less trouble and just stopped after you had me?
But you're our children. These are dogs.
These are our children.
I don't want to be responsible for five dogs.
You don't have to be responsible. Dad, we've been responsible. We've gone through hell for these dogs. And if being responsible means that we have to lose them now, well, then I hate responsibility. Dad, we kept them alive just like you and Mom kept us alive. And you're not going to take them away from us. Look, if we keep them now, when they're bigger, we can find them new homes. But this should be a situation the whole family can live with.
Look!
Cuddling a puppy, Rice looks sullen.
Yeah! Thank you so much.
No, don't bring them over to me. No, this is a mistake.
Now that the puppies are part of the family, we should give them names.
Well, this one's a girl, so how about if we call her Morgan?
No, she looks more like a dolly.
Well, what does a dolly look like?
Like her.
Okay.
Then I get to name this one. Since his dad's name's Beethoven, then his name should be Tchaikovsky.
I like it, but it sounds kind of goofy.
Well, what should we name him?
He looks like a chubby.
Definitely a chubby.
You're cool. You're the coolest one in the whole family. I'm gonna name you Mo.
Mo? Like in Mozart?
No, Mo like in Mohawk. Look at his hair.
Ha! Mo. Cool. Hey, Mo, what do you know?
The puppies clamber down the stairs, but Dolly is left behind. The puppies go outside and Rice and Ted chase after them. Dolly glides down a slide into Rice's arms.
I don't think I can handle this.
No!
George tries to herd them into an outdoor pen. Tchaikovsky drinks from a toilet bowl. Chubby goes under a car parked on the street and George chases after him. The puppy comes out the other side and scurries off, but when he's on his hands and knees looking for him, George gets sprayed with water by a passing street sweeper lorry. He turns to the innocent-looking puppy with exasperation. In his room, George lifts Dolly off his open briefcase and puts her on the floor. He closes the briefcase, and as he walks away, dog pee leaks out of it. A trail of muddy footprints leads to muddy puppies playing in a washing basket of muddy clothes. The puppies are washed in a soapy bath by Ted and Emily, who struggle to keep the wriggly puppies in the tub. Emily carefully combs Mo's hair to a mohawk and cuddles it with her. George pulls on a sock to find it full of chewed holes. George takes Beethoven and the puppies out for a walk, and a Jack Russell across the street stares at them, one ear pricked up, the other floppy. George sleeps on the sofa with Chubby on his head. As George washes the car on the drive, Mo clambers onto a skateboard and glides towards the road. The skateboard hits a bench. And Mo is catapulted over a bin lorry and into a bin of grass cuttings. He clambers out covered in grass. The Newtons pull into a drive-through McDonald's, Beethoven with his head out of the window.
It's a what? Is it a fish fillet? But it's not for its burgers, right?
I
need
a large fry. And I got help with maybe
that. Hi, may I have your order, please?
But it's a burger place. So why?
And would you like fries with your cheeseburger?
Chicken.
Thank you.
The family drives along a winding country highway in the shadow of forests and mountains. They pass a sign which reads, "Welcome to Glen Mountain." They pull up outside a picturesque cottage on the edge of a lake. Ted and Emily are the first out of the car.
Look, it has a dock! And a motorboat!
Hold on.
Dad, look at this! Watch! Oh. This is beautiful.
It has some place. I didn't realize there was that kind of money in Velcro.
This was a great idea.
Everyone goes down to the water's edge, including Tchaikovsky and Dolly, who wrestle on the shore. Later, at night, the puppies are lined up in a row, fast asleep. And at the end of the row, lying down but awake, is Beethoven. Rice is making a bedtime drink as George comes in and waves, mouthing hi.
Hi. There's some hot chocolate over there if you want some.
Oh, thanks. Trouble sleeping?
Yeah. New bed.
What's that?
The Serbiax family album.
Oh, yeah?
Here you go. Hey, that's Mr. Serbiak, right?
Right.
Who's that guy with the mustache next to him?
That's Mrs. Serbiak.
They must have been dating at this time. How come you and Mom don't have any pictures from when you were this age?
Well, you know, after high school, she went off to college, and we really didn't see each other that much for about 4 years.
So... how did you keep it together?
Letters.
Letters? That's it?
I wrote 2-3 letters a day. I write a very nice letter.
It must have been hard. I mean, being away from someone you love.
Being away from someone you love is one of the hardest things in the world. I mean, there were times that I wondered if I'd even see her again.
Just an ordinary day started out the same old way. Then I looked into your eyes and knew today would be a first for me.
Beethoven goes outside and looks up at a full moon.
Sky will be a perfect blue, and I'll give my heart forevermore to someone.
Outside a cottage on the other side of the lake, Missy looks up at the moon too.
The day
have the dog just as soon as I get my check. Yes. Look, you have my word. Yes. Okay, bye-bye. Ha! He took out a loan, he sold some bonds. I know he couldn't live without that dog.
Good. If I have to put up with much more of these birds and these trees and all this nature crap, I'm gonna puke.
Regina uses an electric massager on her neck.
What's the matter with her?
I don't know. Maybe she's hungry.
Hungry? Just, ow! I just fed her yesterday, for crying out loud. She gotta eat every day?
Outside, Missy suddenly perks up and looks at the moon. A cloudy morning, and the lake, fringed by mountains and trees, is as flat as a mill pond. Alice and Emily are in the village with Beethoven.
Okay, honey, don't start with the I wants, okay? We're just getting basic groceries, no silly stuff.
Because we're not millionaires, right?
Right.
Are we thousandaires?
Well, not exactly.
Maybe by Christmas?
Maybe. Hope nobody thinks Beethoven's on sale for 50 cents, huh?
Very funny, Mom.
Oh, come on now. I don't criticize your jokes, do I?
With Beethoven tied to a newspaper rack, Alice and Emily go into a shop passing Regina and Floyd, who are leaving.
Can you believe they don't even sell Evian wood in there? And they look at me like I'm some kind of weirdo. And you try talking to them, it's like nothing's going through.
Beethoven spots them and quickly stands up.
Come on.
Yes, dear.
Goes after them, tearing down the newspaper racks, but their securing chain stops Beethoven going any further. A guy with curly fair hair and wearing an earring comes out of a boathouse and finds Rice looking out across the lake.
Hi.
Hi.
You're new here, right?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Rice.
Rice? Like the food?
Yeah.
I'm Seth. It's not a food group or anything, but it works. You know, Seth, get up. Seth, fix the boat. Seth, you're grounded. It's fairly basic. Are you gonna be around for a while?
Actually, I was looking for the Devereaux. You know, Taylor Devereaux. Do you know where he lives?
Yeah. My dad and I sell him firewood. He lives over on the West Shore.
Could you take me there?
Sitting astride his motorbike, Seth stares at her and then breaks into a smile.
Sure. Hop on.
He hands her a helmet. In the village...
The big one's Chubby. The one with the bows is Dolly. The brown one's Tchaikovsky. And the small one's Mo. And, I'm Ted.
Hey, Tchaikovsky.
So, can I buy you a Coke?
A girl with braces on her teeth stands up.
Aren't I a little tall for you?
Well, not for me.
I mean, aren't you a little short?
Well, height's just temporary. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you're a little taller, right?
No. See ya.
The girl, Janie, walks away, leaving Ted looking crestfallen. Seth and Rice pull up at the edge of the lake.
Down there.
Thanks.
Rice goes down to the edge of the water and sees Taylor cavorting with three girls on a jetty. Rice stares mournfully as he throws the girls into the water and then taunts them by wiggling his butt. Seth is sitting waiting on his bike. Rice trudges back, head bowed, and breaks into a smile when she looks up and sees him.
Find him?
Yeah.
Her smile fades, and he hands her the helmet. She smiles and puts on the helmet as she climbs onto the bike. George is at the cottage chopping wood, but he gets the axe stuck in a log and struggles to free it.
Watch this one.
A piece of wood ricochets into the car headlight.
Hello there.
Dad, this is Seth. He gave me a ride in from town.
How long you had that bike?
Couple years. Splitting wood?
Yeah. You gotta be careful with those.
Yeah. Nice meeting you.
George nods and forces a weak smile.
Like that guy?
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
You like his earring, though, right?
Oh, I love his earring. I'm gonna get a pair for each year.
Okay, if he asks me to marry him, I'll tell him I need a little more time.
Mary.
Rice smiles as she goes inside. Later, she's helping Alice clear the table.
Mom, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did you ever like two guys at one time?
Yeah, I did.
Well, how did you end up choosing Dad?
Well, Daddy was a...
George is dad dancing.
He made me laugh, that's for sure. Okay, all right.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Beethoven covers his eyes with his paws.
Oh, dear. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. You know you're gonna fall. I'm gonna fall. Honey, please.
He dances round the room after her. Later, silhouetted against the lake at sunset, George and Alice have a slow dance at the end of the jetty. As Ted and Emily, with the puppies at their feet, watch from the porch, Rice comes outside with Beethoven, and she smiles as she spots her parents embracing. Rice goes off for a walk with Beethoven on a lead. Later, a bright full moon and an inky sky. And there's a party going on at Taylor's large lakeside two-story house. Rice approaches with Beethoven. She spots Taylor on an upper deck talking to a girl. Beethoven tries to leave, but Rice restrains him. Alerted by Beethoven, Taylor glances across and spots her.
Rice? Is that you?
Hi.
What are you doing here?
We were just taking a walk.
Well, come on up. I'll show you around.
I don't know. It's kind of late.
Come on. Come on.
Okay.
You might want to tie that fur ball up.
She ties Beethoven to a support strut beneath the deck. She goes up the stairs to the deck and Taylor takes her by the hand.
Would you like a beer?
No, just water, please.
Hey, relax. Have a beer.
No, I don't drink.
Oh, how do you know that? I mean, maybe you do drink, but you just don't know it yet. Look, she doesn't want to drink. She doesn't want to drink. Hey, gentlemen, what time is it? It's time!
The guys down beers, but not Taylor.
You know, I probably should be getting home pretty soon.
It'll be fine. I promise. Just come upstairs and see the view. Just for a second. Come on. Come on.
Okay. Just for a second.
You know what's so strange is I just had a dream about you. Has that ever happened? You dream about somebody and then you run into them? Hey, a dog. You want a beer, big guy? It's a yes.
A couple of guys pour beer on Beethoven below the deck.
That's cool!
Taylor shows Rice into his room.
Oh my gosh.
As she goes over to the window, he locks the door.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
He joins her at the window, and they look at the view across the lake. The moon's reflection casts a shimmering silver path on the water.
Hey, remember that time we kissed in my car? I still think about that.
He leans over to her, and they kiss.
Oh, this is going to be great.
She suddenly looks anxious.
We should probably go back down to the party. Did you lock the door?
He grips the keys and smiles. Outside, Beethoven's being doused with beer, and he strains at the lead. The deck lurches.
Taylor, this isn't funny. Just unlock the door.
Rice, relax. This is going to be an experience you're never going to forget.
The beer rains down, and Beethoven bolts, breaking the support strut. The deck collapses, dropping partygoers into the lake, and Taylor's bedroom wall breaks away, and he falls into the water too. Standing at the edge of the now open room, Rice looks down at Taylor as he surfaces.
Hey, Taylor! Great party! Thanks, Beethoven!
She beams and Taylor grimaces before sinking into the water. The puppies are on Emily's bed as she kneels beside it in prayer.
Dear God, we have these puppies and we really, really, really love them. And Daddy says when they get bigger, we have to give them away. And I know you're really busy and everything, but I was wondering if you might be able to make it so they could just stay puppies forever. Then we could keep them. Thank you.
She climbs into bed. The puppies lie side by side, fast asleep. A banner reads, "Welcome, Columbia County Fair." A fairground is packed with people on a sunny day. Horses attached to a central spoke walk around in a circle, giving rides for kids. And guys hack at logs in a chopping competition.
It was like my favorite day of the year. There these roller coasters, the Pippin. I loved it. The Jackrabbit, that was another one. These French fries are fantastic. I'm going to get some more.
Well, honey, aren't you falling for that breakfast?
Hey, it's a vacation. You're supposed to pick out. Alice Fudge!
Uh-oh, George, slow down.
Can I go on some of the rides?
Sure, honey. Ted, will you take her?
Sure, but I need some money.
Okay.
Yeah. Stay together.
Regina and Floyd pull up with Missy.
Long. She'll be fine.
Ted and Emily wait in line at a ticket booth with Beethoven. Ted's eyes widen with excitement as he sees Janie further along the queue. A bully slaps a passing kid as he lumbers up and spots Janie. He grins deviously.
Thank you.
He grabs her tickets.
Give me those.
What are you gonna do, String Bean?
They're mine.
Ah, used to be. Not anymore.
Give them back.
Hey, if you want them, come and get them.
Give them back.
Oh.
They're mine.
Hey!
Hey, what, Shorty?
You wanna see what my dog can do?
What?
My dog. I wanna show you what he can do. Beethoven, sit.
Beethoven sits.
Oh, I'm impressed. Not. Now bug off.
One more.
The bully glares.
Beethoven, bark.
You want to get your face crushed, Shrimp? Get lost.
Last one, I promise. Beethoven, bite this guy in the wiener.
Beethoven lunges at the bully and he flees, dropping the tickets. Ted picks them up.
I think these are yours.
Thanks, Ed.
Ted.
That was really cruel, Ted. Still want to get that Coke?
Sure, but I'm buying. Come on, kid.
Emily tags along. Rice goes up to Seth at a booth where he's throwing balls at bottles.
Hey.
Hey, Rice. How's it going?
Pretty good.
You here with your parents?
Yeah, you know, family togetherness time.
Yeah.
Dad's like, hey, you want to play some Scrabble?
Yeah, my dad is, hey, you want to get up real early and go hunting?
There you go.
Oh, thanks.
Well, see you later.
Hey, do you want to go on a picnic or something?
Sure.
Great.
I'd have to ask my dad, though.
Oh. Well, your dad will say no. He thinks I'm a dumb, unsophisticated hick.
No, he doesn't.
Nah, it's okay. He just doesn't know me yet. Once he gets to know me, he'll think I'm a smart, unsophisticated hick.
I like your bear.
Oh, you like my bear?
Yeah.
I want it just for you. I did.
Could I have two popcorns, please?
Here you go.
I have another order, please. Thank you.
Hey, Dad! Dad, great news.
These are great nachos.
We entered you in this really cool contest.
Oh, Mom. I couldn't possibly do anything physical right now.
You don't have to do anything. You just sit there.
Yeah, and Beethoven's going to help you. Now, come on.
What kind of a contest is it where you just sit there?
And now, teaming man and man's best friend, our 7th annual Burger Binge. Team number one. Arthur Lewis and Wolfgang. And in second position, champions for 3 years running, Cliff Klamath and Jaws.
You hungry, Cliff?
I'm starving, Steve.
And in third position, let's give a nice warm welcome to a couple of out-of-towners, George Newton and Beethoven. We got just one simple rule. The team that eats the most burgers in 3 minutes wins. Contestants, are you ready? Are you set? Go!
Huge bowls of burgers are put in front of the contestants and each man and dog tucks in. Grimacing, George nibbles at a burger gingerly as the others stuff their faces. Despite encouragement from the family, George is not enjoying himself. A kid in the crowd stands up.
Hey, Wimp! Where's your appetite?
He's not a wimp, he's my dad!
Hey, look at that slobber on that St. Bernard's mouth!
Yeah, drool face!
Drool face! Drool face!
Wimp!
Drool face!
Wimp!
Drool
wimp.
Face!
Wimp! 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 Wimp!
Let's go, big fella!
George and Beethoven step up the pace as the time ticks away. Ted points out portly Cliff, who's messily shoving burgers into his mouth, and Alice looks repulsed. Men and dogs eat like pigs in a relentless feeding frenzy. Cliff pauses to take a sip of Coke as his cheeks bulge with burgers. Beethoven's clearing through his bowl and one of the canine competitors, Wolfgang, snarls at him. Cliff slaps a burger flat, and so does George as they enter the final 30 seconds.
Home stretch, just seconds to go.
10. Elsewhere, Floyd is chewing a mouthful of food as a scowling Regina comes up to him.
And with only 3 burgers left, the winners are George Newton and Beethoven! Congratulations, Beethoven.
Isn't this entertaining? Hicks and their dogs.
Beethoven spots Regina dressed all in red.
Are you okay?
George puffs out his cheeks as if he's about to be sick as Beethoven goes off after Regina. Wearing a winner's rosette on his collar, he weaves his way through crowds of legs. He gallops across a wooden footbridge towards where Regina's car is parked. He looks around but can only see numerous passers-by. The crowd's clear and he spots Regina's car, the windows open. Missy pops her head out of the window and Beethoven runs to her. He leaps up at the open window and they nuzzle each other. George hurries to a portable toilet. Through the crowd, Regina spots the puppies with Emily and Ted.
Floyd, go check on Missy.
Why? She's fine.
Look, I got a feeling. Just go check on her.
All right.
Floyd ambles off as she keeps her cold, icy blue eyes on the kids and the puppies. Floyd arrives at the car to find it empty.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no. Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Oh, boy.
He finds Beethoven's rosette and his face hardens as he slams the car door shut. Regina catches up with the kids.
$11 for chocolate bars, huh?
It's her. But they're our puppies.
They're not yours, they're mine.
Give them back!
Hey, these puppies belong to the mother, and the mother belongs to me. So get lost.
You can't have them.
Hey, listen, kiss the puppies goodbye, sweethearts, because you're never going to see them again.
Missy took off with that other big mutt. They hit it at the mountain.
What?
Their stupid dog.
I find your stupid dog. You're never gonna see him again.
Give me the mutt.
Take.
We have to tell Mom and Dad.
We'll find Mommy and Dad. We'll find Mommy and Dad. Yes. We'll find Mommy and Dad. It's working. Come on.
The puppies take the scent from the rosette and scurry away.
She's just talking. What kind of a person takes puppies from kids?
She's a bad person, Dad. She was gonna drown them.
We'll get those puppies back.
Come on, let's go.
The Newtons head off in the same direction as the canines and Regina and Floyd, towards a mountain. The puppies bound through the undergrowth, and Regina and Floyd struggle to keep up with them. They follow a woodland path. Regina pushes a branch aside and it flicks back in Floyd's face. The puppies cross a wooden footbridge.
That's right, puppies. Go find your mommy. Oh, I hope those stupid puppies find their mother.
I'm getting tired of falling.
Regina and Floyd fall through the bridge. Chubby clambers back onto the bridge and peers through the hole at Regina and Floyd.
I'm a mess.
Lying on his back, Floyd catches sight of Chubby looking down on them.
Right
The Newtons are going up a steep, rocky path beside a waterfall.
Look! Puppy poops!
If it's warm, that means we're close. Touch it!
No, you touch
it! I'm not gonna touch it, you're gonna touch
it. I'll touch it.
Rice kneels down, and without looking, she slowly reaches out to touch it as she and Emily grimace.
It's warm.
Okay, good. They're close. Better wash your hands.
The puppies walk in single file along a fallen tree. As Regina and Floyd come scrambling up the mountainside behind them. As the puppies move on through the undergrowth, Floyd struggles to keep his balance on the log. He tumbles down the mountain in a blur. And lands with his head in a tree stump, his legs sticking up in the air.
Floyd! Floyd, where are you?
These puppies are gonna pay for this.
He staggers back to Regina with the stump stuck on his head.
Floyd!
Regina!
What's on your head?
It's a stump. I can't get it off.
Bend over.
She pulls the stump off, but she's sent tumbling down the mountain.
Thanks, Regina!
Puppies climb higher up the mountain. Beethoven and Missy are curled up on a clifftop overlooking a river. They get up as they hear the puppies approaching. The excited puppies bound up to their parents. Missy nuzzles Beethoven as the puppies scurry around at their feet.
There they are. I'll get Missy.
And I'll take care of the rest of them.
Come on.
Missy and the puppies take cover as Beethoven confronts the dog nappers.
Get him away from me!
Floyd arms himself with a stick. Regina grabs Mo.
Here, Floyd.
Hey, you want some of this? Huh? Huh?
You're not gonna come to Regina? Come on, Missy. Regina loves you.
You can't have
her! You fat, useless lump of lard. Come on!
She grabs Missy.
Hey, you want some of this? Hey, oh! Back off! Back off!
Put the puppy down.
Well, look who we have here.
Back off, Jack. You're out of your league.
Put the puppy down!
You mean this puppy?
Put the puppy down.
You want this puppy? Huh? You can't have.
What kind of a person are you?
Oh, well, you don't like me? What kind of a person are you?
Put the puppy down.
Listen, can we just talk about this? Can we calm down?
This doesn't have to get ugly. Just put the puppy down.
Ugly? You ain't seen ugly. That ain't ugly.
That's ugly!
He hits George with a stick and Beethoven charges him.
Oh, Regina!
As he loses his balance, he grabs Regina and they fall into a muddy pool at the side of the river. The Newtons peer over the cliff edge as they surface.
Floyd! No!
Hold on!
Hush! Shut up! And don't do us any favors! Take your stinking puppies and stuff it!
Yes, stuff it!
Shut up!
We're gonna help you, it'll be all right!
You idiot!
What, me? So dog figures was your idea!
side of the pool collapses and they fall into the river. And they're swept downstream.
You stupid!
Well? You hungry?
5 months later.
Honey, I'm home. Things are going so great. We had...
George spots an overturned pot plant and shredded paper. Slowly following the trail of destruction, he finds toilet paper snaking up the stairs. Drawn to the yapping, his eyes widen in horror as he peers into the living room. The place is crawling with puppies that have trashed the room, and they're not done yet as they tear up a rug, climb over the furniture and smash things. George's eyes narrow.
Wake up! Wake up!
He jumps up, but the place is fine.
What's wrong, Dad?
I'll get it!
Hi. Come on in.
Oh, thanks. You ready to go?
Yeah, I just have to go get my jacket upstairs. I'll be right back.
Okay, great.
You taking Rice to a concert?
Yes, sir.
You're not driving your motorcycle, are you?
No, I brought my dad's Jeep down.
Jeep?
Oh, a Jeep. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Don't you think? How you doing, Seth?
Oh, good. How are you?
Fine.
Great.
Have a nice time tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a nice time.
Oh. You look sweet, right? Excuse me.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Brillo.
Look who's here.
Hi, Missy.
Hey, Missy. No.
I hope I'm not interrupting.
No. Oh, no.
I've got some good news. I just came from court.
Yeah.
The judge threw out Regina's claim.
Oh, that's terrific.
I keep Missy and Regina gets nothing.
Oh, God, she deserves it.
It's wonderful.
Congratulations.
I'd really like to see your kids. Are they around?
Yeah. Puppies! Puppies, your mother's here.
Puppies! Oh, puppies!
As the place shakes, Alice and George hold a light fixture and a picture on the wall. Puppies thunder down the stairs, only they're not puppies anymore. Audio description written and recorded by Michael Woodford for Iuno Media. Cast: George Newton, Charles Grodin. Alice Newton, Bonnie Hunt. Rice: Nicole Tom. Ted: Christopher Castile. Emily: Sarah Rose Carr. Regina: Debbie Mazar. Floyd, Chris Penn. Taylor, Ashley Hamilton. Seth, Danny Masterson. Janie, Catherine Reitman. Cliff Clamart, Maury Chaikin. Michelle, Heather McComb. Banker, Scott Wara. Janitor, Jeff Corey. Chemistry teacher, Virginia Capers. Baseball captains, Devin Gummersall, Jason Perkins. Newspaper boy, Jordan Bond. Party guys, Robert Kavanagh, Randall Slavin. Bully, Dion Zamora. Teen hecklers, Damian Rapp, Todd Colker. Heather, Adina Bjork. Arthur Lewis, Pat Jankovics. Hot dog vendor, Tom Duggan. Window dresser, Holly Wartell. Window display manager, Don Lake. And Beethoven owned and trained by Carl Lewis Miller.
That the bells would ring and birds would sing.
Day I fall.